Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said he plans to hold a vote next week on a bill that would force the Justice Department to release all Jeffrey Epstein-related files. There would be some redactions. New documents have raised questions about Epstein and his associates, including a 2019 email mentioning President Trump. Charlotte is next on the Trump administration's list for heightened immigration enforcement, AP's Lisa Dwyer reports.
Charlotte, North Carolina is the latest U.S. city preparing for a potential immigration crackdown by the Trump administration. Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden says that federal officials plan to deploy U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents as early as this weekend. President Donald Trump has defended sending federal agents and the military into Democratic-run cities to combat crime and enforce his administration's deportation policies. Trump has also used this summer's fatal stabbing of a Ukrainian refugee on a light rail train in Charlotte as proof that Democratic-led cities fail to protect their residents from violent crime. Local activists and officials in Charlotte say they are working to prepare the immigrant community by sharing resources and trying to calm fears. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia launched a massive attack across the country today. He said hundreds of drones and 18 missiles were used. Authorities say at least four people were killed in Kyiv and more than two dozen injured.
At least four people have been killed after Russia unleashed a massive combined attack on Kyiv early Friday. Tymur Tyshenko, head of Kyiv's military administration, says over 35 people were injured as emergency crews responded to multiple strikes. Around 430 drones and 18 missiles were used in the attack, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky adds. Local resident Maria Kalshenko tells the AP, I realized that I couldn't see anything. I turned around and saw there was no wall and there was no neighbor's apartment. The neighbor was screaming. There was no door. The Russian attacks come as EU officials warn this week that Ukraine must continue to crack down on corruption following a major graft scandal that's put top nuclear energy officials under scrutiny. I'm Charles Teletesma.
South African authorities are facing heavy criticism after they held more than 150 Palestinians on a plane for around 12 hours. South Africa's Border Management Authority said the passengers did not have exit stamps from Israeli authorities, did not indicate how long they would be staying in South Africa, and had not given local addresses, leading immigration authorities to deny them entry.
South African authorities face heavy criticism for holding over 150 Palestinians on a plane for about 12 hours due to travel document issues. The passengers, including a 9-month pregnant woman, were finally allowed to disembark on Thursday night. The Palestinians landed at Johannesburg's O.R. Tambo International Airport on Thursday morning after a stopover in Nairobi. They lacked exit stamps from Israeli authorities and did not provide local addresses, leading to entry denial. South Africa's Ministry of Home Affairs intervened and a local NGO offered accommodation. Many passengers now intend to claim asylum in South Africa, sparking anger over their treatment. I'm Karen Chamas.
U.S. futures fell and oil prices advanced. This is AP News.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Last year's third overall draft pick is already proving himself to be one of the NFL's best.
Drake May and the 9-2 Patriots are on top of the NFL. New England's second-year quarterback tells the AP his team's unexpected success hasn't come as a shock to him.
No, I don't think anything surprised me. When you put the work in and you got good players and good coaches, you know, you're going to get a result that you want.
May's year two growth has been on full display. He leads the league in passing yards and ranks second in touchdowns. Pat Jets tight end Hunter Henry.
Shoot, he's my MVP, man.
May is also garnering MVP consideration around the sport. He was showered with MVP chants by New England fans during Thursday night's 27-14 win over the Jets.
You know, just trying to embrace this city and, you know, give these fans and this team and, you know, just myself, just leave it all out there and give me everything I got.
Gethin Coolball, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
A federal lawsuit alleges appalling conditions at California City, the state's largest immigration detention facility. The American Civil Liberties Union represents 7 men being held at the site, about 100 miles north of Los Angeles. The complaint describes sewage issues, inadequate medical care, and a lack of basic supplies like soap. It also alleges severe understaffing and crumbling infrastructure. The facility was a shuttered prison that reopened in August to serve as a detention center and now holds about 800 people. Homeland Security denies the allegations. On November 4th, California voters approved redrawn congressional boundaries that could give Democrats a shot at gaining 5 U.S. House seats. About a week and a half later, though, the Justice Department's filed a lawsuit challenging the new map, joining a case brought by the California Republican Party. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom pushed hard for the new boundaries, saying it would counter a Republican-led effort in Texas backed by President Trump. Two other Republican-led states, Missouri and North Carolina, have also redrawn their maps to boost GOP chances. But California's redistricting is the first and so far only effort being challenged by the Justice Department. I'm Ben Thomas.
The BBC is apologizing to President Trump over a misleading edit. The BBC says Chair Samir Shah sent a personal letter to the White House. He apologized but strongly disagreed there was a basis for a defamation lawsuit. The president's lawyer threatened a $1 billion lawsuit. The dispute was sparked by an edition of the BBC flagship current affairs series Panorama, broadcast days before the 2024 election. The edits were from a speech on the day of the Capitol riot. Amanda Carey lives in London.
It's something that should never have happened. They're supposed to be a paragon of impartiality.
A third-party production company made the film and spliced together 3 quotes from 2 sections of the speech into what appeared to be 1 quote in which the president urged supporters to march with him and fight like hell. This is White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The president has made it very clear that this is a leftist propaganda machine that is unfortunately subsidized by British taxpayers.
I'm Ed Donahue.
First Lady Melania Trump is spearheading an initiative to improve career and education opportunities for children raised in foster care.
Too many people from foster care community end up homeless.
At a White House event, President Trump signed an executive order to create a Fostering the Future program.
Under this major new initiative, great American companies and institutions will be signing a pledge to invest in teaching, training, and mentoring America's youth who are transitioning out of the foster care system.
It aims to establish a comprehensive network connecting federal departments and agencies, private sectors, businesses, higher learning institutions, and charitable organizations.
The program builds on a Fostering the Future initiative launched in 2021 that offers scholarships to current and former foster youth. The First Lady says the initiative gives her tremendous pride.
It is both empathetic and strategic.
Jennifer King, Washington.
After more than a month away, government workers are returning to the job. Offices are open the day after President Trump signed a spending bill ending the government shutdown in Atlanta.
I worked at this campus for 34 years and went through multiple shutdowns. I know what it's like to miss a paycheck.
Retired worker Steve Monroe was outside CDC headquarters holding a sign that read, "You are heroes."
These people have been maligned in the press, and public health is very important, and the job they're doing is important, and I just want them to know that there are those of us who appreciate what they're doing.
At the White House, economic advisor Kevin Hassett was asked about the shutdown's economic impact.
Our Council of Economic Advisors said that it cost about $15 billion a week.
The bill signed by the president ensures back pay for federal workers and reverses dismissals.
Ed Donahue, AP News.
The Federal Aviation Administration says there won't be a change in flight cuts as more air traffic controllers return to work. The Department of Transportation and the FAA say flight reductions at 40 major U.S. airports will remain at 6% instead of rising to 10% by the end of the week. The agencies made the announcement as Congress moved to pass legislation ending the longest government shutdown in history. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the 6% limit will stay in place while officials assess to see whether the air traffic system can safely return to normal. The flight cuts were implemented last week as more air traffic controllers were calling out of work, citing stress and the need to take on second jobs, leaving some control towers and facilities short-staffed. I'm Mike Hempen.
Reverend Jesse Jackson is in hospital with a rare neurological disorder. Jackson's Chicago-based civil rights organization says the 84-year-old has progressive supranuclear palsy and is under observation. He had been receiving around-the-clock care at home before being hospitalized. He was reported to be in a stable condition. Jackson has suffered from symptoms consistent with Parkinson's disease and disclosed a diagnosis in 2017. But during a Mayo Clinic visit in April, doctors confirmed a diagnosis of PSP, which can have similar symptoms to Parkinson's. He has continued to make public appearances, including at last year's Democratic National Convention. He's been using a wheelchair, and family members say he can no longer speak. Fast-moving wildfire in picturesque Mono County in California has damaged 15 structures and prompted evacuations. The Pack Fire forced the closure of part of a highway as firefighters worked to contain it on Thursday. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection says the fire had grown to about 5.3 square miles by Thursday night. It also said the fire had been whipped up by strong gusts of wind that reached as strong as 50 miles per hour. But by Thursday evening, the department announced that fire activity has decreased due to precipitation in the area. I'm Karen Chalas.
Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell, a centrist Democrat, has conceded the mayoral election to progressive activist Katie Wilson in another victory for leftist Democrats.
I just spoke with Mayor-elect Katie Wilson to congratulate her on a hard fought victory.
Harrell, who served three terms on the city council, led in early results, but late arriving votes broke heavily in Wilson's favor.
There were over 15,000 new registered voters. The young people believe their voices are not being heard.
Katie Wilson is a Democratic socialist with no previous experience in elected office, a community organizer who decided to run when Harrell opposed a plan to tax the rich to help pay for affordable housing.
It is hard for me to believe now that when this year began, I had no intention of running for any type of political office, let alone mayor of the largest city in the Pacific Northwest.
Wilson will be leading a city with 13,000 employees and a significant budget shortfall. I'm Jennifer King.
With minutes of silence and somber readings of the victims' names, 132 in all, the French capital mourned the dead and innocents lost on November 13, 2015, when nine Islamic State group gunmen and suicide bombers struck within minutes of one another at several locations in the deadliest violence to strike France since World War II. Coordinated attacks targeted the packed Bataclan Concert Hall, cafes, the National Stadium, with France's national trauma likened to that of 9/11 in the U.S. France is also proudly recalling how Parisians came together, looked after each other, and slowly but surely rebounded with, as France's president Emmanuel Macron says,
l'esprit de résistance,
the spirit of resistance. Rescue crews have found the body of a coal miner missing since Saturday after a mine crew hit an unknown pocket of water, flooding the Alpha Metallurgical Resources Rolling Thunder Mine east of Charlestown, West Virginia. Foreman Steve Lipscomb was found early Thursday. Crews worked around the clock for days in hopes of a rescue, pumping out water at a rate fast enough to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool, roughly every 2 hours. Lipscomb was last seen trying to make sure that his crew got out of the mine safely. His death is the third at an Alpha facility in West Virginia this year. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Dozens of people became sickened Wednesday night in Weatherford, Oklahoma, when a tanker truck parked in a hotel parking lot began leaking anhydrous ammonia gas. Anhydrous ammonia is used as fertilizer, but can burn people in its liquid or gaseous form. People nearby were evacuated, others were told to shelter in place, and several dozen people were taken to the hospital for difficulty breathing. At a news conference carried by KFOR, Weatherford Police Chief Angelo Orfici says the gas has dissipated, enough for people to return home.
The shelter in place has been lifted. People can go back to their residents. They do not have to evacuate anymore.
Orfici says four people in critical condition were transferred to other hospitals for further treatment. I'm Donna Warder.
Parents of at least two babies who fell ill after a botulism outbreak are suing the makers of ByHeart formula. One of the families is Stephen and Urani Dexter of Flagstaff, Arizona. They say their four-month-old daughter, Rose, had to be flown by air ambulance to a children's hospital where she spent several weeks receiving treatment this summer.
She really stopped eating. It was very difficult. She wanted to. She would try to give her the bottle. And then she put it up to her lips, and then she'd just start to cry, say she didn't want the bottle.
Another family, Michael and Hannah Everett of Richmond, Kentucky, shared a similar story. Their daughter Piper, also 4 months, was rushed to a hospital on November 8th with worsening symptoms of the rare and potentially deadly disease. Rose and Piper are among at least 15 infants across a dozen states who have fallen ill since the outbreak began in early August. Federal and state officials say no deaths have been reported. Stephen Dexter had a message for families facing the same situation.
The one mistake I made was I wish I had taken her to the...
ByHeart recalled all of its formula across the U.S. on Tuesday. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Starbucks workers at 65 stores are on strike. It's happening on busy Red Cup Day. Free reusable cups are given to customers who buy a holiday drink.
Managers who may not know how to make your drink this morning, so we ask that you go to a different place, not Starbucks today.
Picketers were outside a Starbucks in Philadelphia.
Please not go to Starbucks today until... they get a contract!
The strike has forced some Starbucks to close. Sylvia Baldwin is a barista in Philadelphia.
We're calling for the company to come back to the bargaining table and settle a first contract with us that actually addresses the problems in our stores, understaffing, lack of the hours we need, and lack of the pay we need to actually pay our bills and make ends meet.
Starbucks emphasizes most of its 10,000 stores nationwide are open and operating as usual. The company says it offers the best wage and benefit package in retail. I'm Ed Donahue.
Mortgage rates rise again. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage rose this week to 6.24%. This is the second weekly increase after four straight declines. The average rate remains near its lowest level in more than a year. Mortgage rates have mostly eased since late July, ahead of a Federal Reserve rate cut in September and October. The central bank doesn't set mortgage rates, but its actions are one of the factors that influence their trajectory. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Travion Henderson totaled three touchdowns, and the Patriots won their eighth straight game to improve to an NFL best 9-2 with a 27-14 win over the Jets on Thursday Night Football.
It was an exciting crowd, for sure. And, I'm thankful to be able to come out with the win, of course.
49ers QB Brock Purdy will start after missing six games with a toe injury. College basketball, Braden Smith scored 29 as number 2 Purdue held off number 8 Alabama 87-80. MLB, two-way star Shohei Ohtani won his fourth MVP award in a unanimous vote for the National League honor, and Aaron Judge earned the American League accolade for the third time. Ohtani was named MVP for the third straight year. It's his second in the NL with the two-time defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers after winning two in the AL with the Angels. All four have been unanimous. Judge became the New York Yankees' fourth three-time winner, edging Seattle's Cal Raleigh with 17 first-place votes to 13 for the switch-hitting catcher. Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase pleaded not guilty to charges he took bribes to help gamblers win bets on pitches he threw. College football playoff selection committee chairman Mac Rhodes has been replaced by Arkansas athletic director Hunter Yurachek following an announcement that Rhodes had stepped down from the role and taken a leave of absence as the athletic director at Baylor while the school investigates unspecified allegations against him. Baylor Vice President Jason Cook said Thursday the allegations against Rhodes do not involve Title IX, student athlete welfare, or NCAA rules violations, and do not involve the football program. The university says it's conducting a thorough investigation. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Israel returned the bodies of 15 Palestinians, officials at the Strip's Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis say, in the latest step to fulfilling the terms of the fragile U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement. The bodies were returned after militants late on Thursday handed over the body of one of the last four remaining Israeli hostages taken during the October 7, 2023 attack that launched the war in Gaza. Israel identified the return body as that of Meni Godard, who was abducted from a kibbutz in southern Israel. His wife, Ayelet, was killed during the attack. The armed wings of Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad say Godard's body was recovered in southern Gaza. The remains of 25 hostages have been returned to Israel since the ceasefire began on October 10. There's still three more in Gaza that need to be recovered and handed over. The UN's top human rights body is holding a one-day session to highlight hundreds of killings at a hospital in Sudan's Darfur region and other atrocities committed last month by paramilitary forces fighting the Sudanese army. The Human Rights Council is also debating a draft resolution calling on an existing team of independent experts to carry out an urgent inquiry into the killings and other rights violations in the city of El Fasher by the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group. Volker Turk, the UN human rights chief, says the atrocities that are unfolding in El Fasher were foreseen and preventable. They constitute the gravest of crimes. Last month, the RSF seized El Fasher, the capital of North Darfur, and rampaged through the Saudi hospital in the city, killing more than 150 people, according to the WHO. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
At least two people were killed and over a dozen others injured on Thursday after a truck collided with pedestrians at an outdoor market in South Korea's Bucheon City. Police are questioning the unidentified truck driver in his 60s who was not under the influence of alcohol or drugs, according to police. A local official said witnesses told investigators that the vehicle initially reversed about 92 feet before driving forward almost 500 feet, colliding with pedestrians on the way. Local media showed footage of the damaged truck, which had debris and clothing entwined into the metal at the front of the vehicle. The driver claimed his vehicle had malfunctioned and that officials were reviewing security camera footage. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.